Good morning, AWS, and welcome to the AWS Morning Brief. We begin today with a request. If you enjoy this podcast, please leave a positive review in iTunes. On the other hand, if you despise this podcast, please leave a positive review in iTunes. This episode is sponsored by Influx Data, the creators of InfluxDB. InfluxDB is like Amazon Timestream, except for the part where it has customers who pay them. In addition to being actually available for sale, it is also the de facto time series database you probably use if you need a time series database. They've got a few other products available as open source, as well as managed service offerings. Check them out at influxdata.com. And now let's find out what happened last week. For starters, AWS Lake Formation was released. This is something that lets you hydrate data lakes, but it's infuriating and broken and awful because unlike Cloud Formation, which is one word, Lake Formation is spelled as two words, which is unconscionable from my point of view. Hot on the heels of that, Amazon Athena adds support for Lake Formation as a separate item, which means that instead of one release, they get two. Lovely for them. Other notable releases last week, Amazon Aurora Multi-Master is now generally available. The question becomes, which part of CAP theorem does it violate? Or, oh, we're going to solve that via replication. So now it simply results in CRAP theorem. Amazon Aurora, with Postgres compatibility, now supports publishing Postgres log files to Amazon CloudWatch, as opposed to where people want to put their log files, which is literally anywhere else. Amazon DynamoDB now helps you monitor as you approach your account limits. You can store those account limits in DynamoDB. New C5 instance sizes are available in additional regions that you aren't running workloads in and don't care about, because if you cared about it, you would already know that these features are now available there. Amazon EC2 Fleet got a couple of additional things this past week. First, it lets you modify your on-demand target capacity, and the second is that it lets you set a maximum price for a fleet of instances. You should pour a 40 out for that old days that we'll miss of being blindsided by horrifying bills. Amazon EMR's integration with Lake Formation is now in beta and supports database, table, and column-level access controls for Apache Spark. I'm sure that's not going to be gotten wrong by anyone. Amazon RDS for Aurora now supports new instance sizes, all of which are horrifyingly expensive, because did you not hear me when I said Oracle? Let's talk about something that isn't horrifyingly expensive, namely Chaos Search. Chaos Search gives you an Elasticsearch-compatible API with unlimited data retention because that data lives as it has always lived in your own S3 bucket in your account. You don't have to load it into a database and then pay for instances to run that database for you. It cuts what you're spending on Elasticsearch bills by roughly 80% on average without the terrible parts of having to manage Elasticsearch. They are not just a sponsor of this episode, they're also a vendor that I adore. Check them out at chaossearch.io, and my thanks to them once again for sponsoring this ridiculous podcast. Amazon RDS SQL Server now supports changing the server-level collation and other feature enhancements that I'm almost sure they've made up, because there's no way that's a real thing. Amazon Redshift launches concurrency scaling in 5 additional AWS regions and enhances console performance giraffes in all supported AWS regions. Terrific, because when you're using Redshift, the number one thing you care about is performance, not analyzing vast quantities of data, except no, the exact opposite. Amazon Recognition now detects violence, weapons, and self-injury in images and videos. It improves accuracy for nudity detection after being lobbied by the modern Puritans of America, but is still freely available to organizations that put children in cages. Wonderful. You'd really think they would keep that service quiet for the time being, given the brewing controversy around it being made available to ICE. Amazon SageMaker Ground Truth adds data labeling workflow for named entity recognition. That's a lot of words to say that SageMaker Ground Truth now has a few extra capabilities around a service which, let us not forget, is just a bunch of people like Mechanical Turk labeling your datasets for you instead of your expensive data scientists. Amazon SageMaker notebooks are now available with a pre-installed R kernel. R is a great language for data analysis. Some people mistakenly believe that R is a pirate's favorite programming language, but no, a pirate's first love was in fact C. Amazon SNS message filtering adds support for attribute key matching. In other words, you can now start filtering out what is being handed to you from an SNS message queue based upon additional attributes, not just the important ones. Amazon EMR now supports native EBS encryption. What the hell took it so long, given that when you use EMR, you're paying for the service and the underlying EC2 instances beneath it. Amazon WorkDocs migration service has launched and is ready to migrate data into WorkDocs in an aspirational bid to them one day getting an actual customer. The Amplify framework adds local mocking and testing for GraphQL APIs, storage, functions, and hosting. I think that's great and all, but I'm not local. I'm in San Francisco, and I can mock it from anywhere. AWS DataSync now supports VPC endpoints, only a year after almost everything else supported VPC endpoints. Welcome to the party. AWS Fargate is now available in Hong Kong, which is kind of awesome. If you're using Fargate, that might be valuable for you. If you're not using Fargate, consider using Fargate. AWS Glue now provides Find Matches ML Transform. Okay, that's a lot of words. What's it for? To deduplicate and find matching records in your data set. That's right. Duplicate detection now requires machine learning, almost like someone's trying to sell you something horrifyingly expensive. AWS Health is now available in AWS GovCloud. What the hell is AWS Health is most people's immediate response to that, as it was mine. It turns out that that's what powers the Personal Health Dashboard, which is a status page that packs just the things in your specific account. No word yet on to whether it lies even slightly less than Amazon's normal status page, which you can read at stop.lying.cloud. AWS IoT Device Defender expands globally. Normally, when you say that something expands globally, you're saying it's enormously fat. IoT Device Defender also supports mitigation actions for audit results. That's right, instead of whining helplessly, it can now actually do something about it when it detects something it should care about. AWS License Manager is now available in the Bahrain region. I refuse to accept that License Manager is a service and not someone's job description, so they're apparently hiring for an AWS License Manager if that sounds like you. Want a miserable job? Go be a License Manager. X-ray support is also available in Bahrain. To be very clear, this is not a benefit. This is just services that were too slow to be available when it launched a couple of weeks ago. They're now trying to spin that into a benefit, but we see you. That's right, not all deadlines are inherently arbitrary. Amazon CloudFront announces support for resource level and tag-based permissions. Good for it. It took an awfully long time for it to support that, but it's CloudFront. It takes an awfully long time to do anything with that service. EC2 has announced I3EN and C5N bare metal instances. These are the same instances you know and love, only now it has direct access to hardware and a couple of processor capabilities. Why do you need such a thing? If you're asking that question, let me save you time. You don't. You don't need those things. Private Link has come to the AWS GovCloud US East region, finally. And that's not really a problem of the service so much as it is the joys of getting anything into GovCloud. Boxes need to be checked, and it's effectively supporting the same thing that it's always supported in the commercial regions, just way later. Counterpoint, if you're in GovCloud, moving quickly is not your primary concern. You can now launch a few services, including AWS Glue, Amazon EMR, and Aurora Serverless Clusters inside of shared VPCs. For those who missed that announcement for a few months now, you've been able to have VPCs shared between accounts. Its primary purpose is to shatter your understanding of the AWS account model. And the last item, they had a story on the Management Tools blog about how Verizon enhances configuration management using AWS Systems Manager. Because if there's one company I want to take lessons on how to do things more effectively from, it's Verizon. And that is a wrap for this week's episode of the AWS Morning Brief. I'm Corey Quinn, cloud economist for the Duckbill Group. And if you have an AWS bill that's terrifyingly expensive to you, or simply inscrutable, we can help. Go to duckbillgroup.com to learn more. Thank you for listening, and I will talk at you next week.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.